Hey, look, man. Came a long way, haven't I? I went from getting snitched on to pop, put a ring on. I'm a champ. Swag champ is here.
Yeah, NBA Australia, how you gone? That's right, man, it's NBA Australia. It's Monday, June 11. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who is rapping better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Just while rapping Australia a little bit, mate. And that's it. The NBA season is done. We have a champion, the Golden State Warriors. It's all over. What are we going to do? Oh, my God. Anyway, we'll figure that out. On today's show, we'll wrap the end of the NBA Finals, talk about the three-time champion Warriors and why they, how they got there, why they suck, why it sucks. Do they suck? Is this good? Is it bad? Who knows? We're going to talk about all that, as well as the best moments from the finals and a bunch of other stuff to do with LeBron and the Cavs, I guess. Plus, we'll start off our giant... Yo, where's LeBron going at a preview, where we look at all 30 teams and rank the possibility of LeBron ending up there. Plus, there's all the usual dumbassery like, yeah, nah, spud of the night, the unpopular opinion of the day, and of course, our back takehouse. And because it's Monday, we've got a brand new Andrew Gaze Fundamentally Sound Grey Mamba Award to give away. And of course, that classic, it's a Deli review. He's talking about the NBA Finals and Westworld. On your deli, it's episode 138, it's NBA Australia. What do you reckon? Let's go!
Oi, 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 it's old mate Deli over here. That's right, Manny Deli Vadova. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the shark attack!
Ah, you better, because we start every day here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. And of course... there's a little bit of news. The Detroit Pistons have decided to go, yeah, sure, Dwayne Casey, and hired him for 5 years. We'll talk about it a bit later in the year, nah. But let's just get straight to the Game 4 wrap from Friday night. I was out getting, shit-faced. That's right, at the pub, because it's like, oh, this is going to suck. And true to form, it did. But it was still fun just watching the entire pub go, man, fuck the Warriors. Which is pretty great. So Warriors win the NBA title with a 108-85 win over the LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers. What do you think there, Stephen A. Smith?
Cleveland!
That's right, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So look, let's quickly wrap the game. Cavs LeBron, I mean, he had 23 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 turnovers. We'll talk about him in a sec in the LeBron is nuts segment. Kevin Love had 13 points, 9 rebounds. Sure. Rodney Hood and JR both had 10 points each, and that was it. No one else got even close to double figures. Hill and Corver were horrible. Jeff Green was his usual shit self, and that was that. The Cavs shot 34.5% from the field and 8 of 27 from 3 at home. 29%. Unreal. So, what do you reckon? Shall we break down 5 reasons why the Cavs lost? Yeah, let's do it. Number 1, LeBron had as many shots as Kevin Love. Yeah, that's a pretty big reason, I'd say. 13 shots. I mean, yes, he had 23 points. But come on, man. What are y'all doing? Because number 2, Kevin Love is a sack of spuds that someone clearly put a Cleveland jersey on. That dude just sputtered it up hardcore there. 13 points. That's 5 of 13 shooting for Kevin Love. Jesus. He couldn't have had "Please trade me" written harder unless he'd had it tattooed on his fucking forehead. 4 of 13, not even 5 of 13. Jesus. He hit 2 of 5 from 3. He had 9 rebounds. Just, I don't know, man. Everyone's like, well, just wait for Minnesota, Kevin Love to come back, bro. It's like, he's not coming back. He's playing with LeBron. It's not going to be the game. It's not how they're going to be able to play. Just watch him get traded this offseason. It's going to be fun. Best of luck in your next endeavor, Kevin Love. Number 3 reason why the Cavs lost in Game 4, Kendrick Perkins did not charge the court and deck Steph Curry. I mean, if he had have done that in the first game, I mean, well, the first game, the first quarter of Game 4, they might have had a chance, but no, he didn't. As mentioned on Friday, it would have been awesome just to let him sit there with like a samurai sword as well. Because you know he owns like 8. Perk is definitely the kind of guy who owns a samurai sword. Number 4, J.R. Smith did not realize they were in the finals and that he should play good basketball. basically at any point of this series, he's like, hey, LeBron, we're going to get them in game five, right? And everyone's like, JR, come on, man. Dude, the Henny. And the number five reason that the Cavs lost, George Hill has tiny little cat balls, like you'd see on a cat. That's how big his balls are. They're tiny little cat balls. Boy, did that guy just go completely missing. So he's going to pop up in spud of the night, but he had a particularly horrible game in game four. 3 points, 1 of 7. Jesus Christ. He only hit double figures once in the last 5 games, did George Hill. Come on. This dude, what the hell is that about? I mean, ugh, just gross. Anyway, so the real actual reason that the Cavs lost this game and lost this series, really, is just because Golden State's defense, right? They're like, oh, you want to be good? Nah, too bad. So when the Cavs got back to Cleveland as well, you think, oh, the turnaround happens now. This is where, like, role players start playing better. Yeah, nah, that's not how it goes, apparently. Because at home, in the finals, the Cavs, they scored only 93.5 points a game versus their usual 105 during the playoffs. Yeah, that's 12 points less a game. They shot 39% from the field at home in the finals and 29.3% from three. That is 8% worse from the field than usual and 7% worse from three than usual. Unbelievable. They even suck from the free throw line. How do you suck from the free throw line at home? They shot 71% versus 78. That is just unbelievable. So the Cavs not being able to hit the side of a fucking Werribee shit shed. That'll do it. And moving on to the Warriors had 13 blocks in this game, which is patently ridiculous. I mean, for a team that their, like, rim protector is, like, JaVale McGee. I mean, we all know it's actually Draymond and KD, but Jesus Christ. 13, I mean, the Cavs managed 5 blocks. Draymond and KD had 6 between them. Like, come on. Steph Curry nearly had more blocks than the entire fucking Cavs team. That is unbelievable. Steph had 3, Dre had 3, the coward Kevin Durant had 3, JaVale somehow only had 1. But look, obviously Steph had 37 points in this game, was robbed of finals MVP, we'll get to that. The coward Kevin Durant had 20 points on 17 shots, still had a triple-double though with 10 assists and 12 rebounds. Draymond had 9 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds and those 3 blocks, while Klay had a fairly quiet one as well, 10 points on 10 shots. Iguodala though, 11 points off the bench, came good at the exact right time that they needed him, and that basically won the game. We'll talk about that in a second as well, because, look, let's talk about 5 reasons the Warriors won this game. Number 1, Steph Curry. Number 2, Steph Curry. Number 3, Steph Curry. Number 4, Steph Curry. And number 5, Andre Iguodala hit 3 of 6 from 3. Seriously, like, everyone in the pub, as soon as, like, he hit the second 3, it's like, oh, yeah, this game's over. Iguodala's hit, like, 2 threes. The Cavs have no fucking chance of winning this. Look, other reasons they won, obviously Steve Kerr, great game plan for like any time that they were trapping Steph. He somehow got the ball back into his hands every single goddamn time. And look, you don't get 37 points by accident. It was pretty remarkable. It was a hell of a show. And KD's 20 on 17 shots. Come on. Missed all his threes, but still, he's out there. Anytime shit broke down, they're just like, give it to Kevin. See what he does. So there you go. The Warriors. Unbelievable. Hell of a game. And especially on the road, in this, they shot 45% from the field and 37% from three. On the road! In the finals! Unbelievable. But really, it was all about the ball movement. That's how you get open shots. That's how you hit shots. They move the ball supremely well, even though they're only 9 points up at the half in game four. It really felt like 90. So, I don't know, man. What can you do? And that's it. Golden State leave Cleveland with their 3rd title in 4 years, crushing the Cavs. The first NBA final sweep since 2007. And oh, is that LeBron on the other end of that one as well? Ah, remarkable. Unbelievable stuff. And there you go. So what do you think? How do you feel about the Warriors winning? I mean, the kind of pub that I was in, it was like, yeah, sure, fucking whatever. And the muted celebrations because Golden State were on Cleveland's floor. Kind of fun, and but it really does take away a little bit of the fun aspects of it, right? Where you just get to go bananas with all your fans sweeping a team and like winning the title on their floor. It's pretty badass, but at the same time, it does end up with everybody kind of going, yeah, dudes, we're out of here. It's brutal. All right, so let's move on to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night in game 4.
That's a nice
That's a fucking knife, Steph. Holy shit. 37 points and he didn't win finals MVP. Absolute bullshit, but an incredible game nonetheless. 12 of 27 from the field, but he goes 7 of 15 from three. Just straight killed the Cavs.
So he got straight killed.
They straight killed the Cavs every time he was even near the ball. It was like, it was legitimately immense. It was flat out killer performance from the little dork. And props where props are due. He might have a horrible beard, one of the worst beards you'll ever see. But that final series was absolutely remarkable. And that game four for Steph should have won him the MVP. Because you know where that 37 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, 7-15 from 3. Where does that go? You know where it goes. It goes straight to the pool room.
This is going straight to the pool room.
You better believe it. All right, who was old mate no mate though in game four?
Old mate no mate.
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 Who's got no mates today? Come on, man. It's still J.R. Smith. I mean, it wasn't all his fault that they lost this series, but it mostly is. poor J.R. You're going to feel vaguely bad for the guy, but at the same time, not really. I mean, after game one, he had 10 points in game one. He had 5 points in game two, 13 on 14 shots in game three, and 10 points on 8 shots in game four. And look, you know, he's just persona non grata there in Cleveland and in LeBron's life. Like, would you be surprised if you find out, like, 8 years from now that, like, it turns out that LeBron literally hasn't spoken to JR since game one? Like, JR goes, oh, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what happened, but, like, LeBron literally hasn't said a word to me since 2018 game one. Like, I would not be surprised, right? Like, that's just how it goes. That's just how it goes. JR, you are old mate, no mates. And it'll be fascinating to see how the rest of his NBA career goes. Because as soon as LeBron is not on the Cavs or not on JR's team, you can imagine that he's going to be the best NBA player China has ever had. All right. Who was the bitches of the night for game four? Well, this is easy because it was the entire Cavs roster. How do you roll over that meekly at home in a closeout game? That is really just some bitches shit. I mean, Brian Windhorst and all the other flogs who didn't report on LeBron's hand injury as well. I mean, fuck all y'all. Like, oh, they asked us not to because it would have meant like Golden State going at it. You cowards. What happened to reporting the truth as you see it? That's some bitch ass shit as well. Also, LeBron, it can't be that bad if you're out there doing push-ups on it, going through rigorous handshake routines every couple of seconds. And also, I just really, really hated the fact that they're reporting this LeBron hand injury like straight away. Like, that just seems dodgy as. At least wait until like it's a bit during the like Cavs parade or something like that to take a little bit of the shine off it. That would be way fucking funnier. So that's some bitch ass shit as well. He did stop shooting threes. Obviously the hand was bothering him, but come on, like just wait a couple of days to release that. And actually, you know, really stick to the Warriors a little bit of the night. So how about Spud of the night though? Who was that for game four?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. You can take your pick from the Cavs. It was Jeff Green going 2 of 8, George Hill 1 of 7, J.R. Smith 3 of 8, Kyle Korver 0 of 6, Kevin Love 4 of 13, all of them sputtered it up. LeBron's the only one who fucking showed up in this game, that's for sure. He's literally the only Cav, aside from Tristan Thompson and, you know, basically anyone who popped up in garbage time, being Zizic there, who shot over 50% from the field. That is just absolutely fucking horrible. Look, Larry Nance Jr. wasn't too bad, but the rest of them, all fucking spuds. And this is why you're sitting there going, man, LeBron gonna go, isn't he? It's just how it goes. So the spuds of the night, basically, and the bitch ass of the nights, it's all the Cavs. It's hard, man, but hey, I didn't put you on this list. You put yourselves on this list. How about the Bruce McAvaney Memorial deliciously special moment of the finals?
He's one of the most watchable players in the competition. What a delicious young player he is. It's still a reality. Delicious, delicious, delicious.
Delicious, delicious, delicious. You heard it at the very start of this episode. He went from getting snitched on to about to put a ring on. Nick Young becoming an NBA champion is deliciously special. Taking J.R. Smith's shirtless celebration crown and running with it, also flat out delicious. And so is Iggy Azalea clapping back at him on Instagram saying that he can enjoy his title without referencing that dirty old dick of his, apparently, which is, Wow, man. It's pretty brutal right there, I'll tell you that much. Speaking of rubbish rappers, what do you reckon of this one?
See me posted with the fam. See me posted with the brand. Y'all just do it for the gram. And we do it for the fam. BBB, oh, ay. BBB, oh, ay. BBB, oh, ay. BBB,
oh, ay. Purple, that's right. It's time for Better Than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody with a horrible, horrible, horrible Ball in the Family tune. What is that? So this is Better Than Lonzo Ball. And look, it's going to be Jordan Bell once more. That's four straight games Better Than Lonzo Ball. He was out there just getting work done and getting himself a ring. Game four, Jordan Bell, 18 minutes, 4 points, four rebounds, one assist, and one block. That is 4 points, four rebounds, one assist, one block more than Lonzo Ball in the NBA Finals has ever scored. And that is unbelievable. On you, Jordan Bell. Out there absolutely crushing it. He had 4 points, 10 points, 5 points, 4 points. That is just legit, son. That is 23 points total, more than Lonzo Ball has ever scored in a NBA Finals. But come on, man. Lonzo's out there dropping horrible, horrible fire tracks in Lonzo's new jam with his dad, and he's unbelievably bad brother. Let's catch up with some Jello stuff here, shall we?
Triple B's, yeah, we going global. Touching millions like I do on social. With my people, never riding dolo. If you don't believe me, you can check the photos. A lot of family, yeah, they really with me.
Oh, LiAngelo, that is just legitimately horrible. Your flow is about as clean as a Yarra, mate. That was just legit the worst. That's like something when your mum is all like, hey, you got to make sure you take your little brother and get him involved. And you're like, oh, mom, but he sucks. So there you go. Better than Lonzo Ball. Look, we're going to have a lot more Lonzo Ball in the Family coverage in the offseason, which is just funny as hell. So, but one more time, let's get to a little bit of the old LeBron is nuts, isn't he? He's just bloody nuts, mate. All right, so sure, LeBron only had 23 points. That's 7 of 13 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3. 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 turnovers. Still, he is absolutely nuts, and he's the only one who did anything on this goddamn team in this finals. So good on you, LeBron. He scored 748 points in the playoffs. That's good for second behind Jordan's 759. So he comes 11 short back in 92. LeBron attempted 71 fewer field goals, though. For 11 fewer points. He also had 71 more assists and 63 more rebounds and a higher true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage than Jordan in the playoffs. So there you go. The GOAT is still the GOAT, however. That's just how it goes. So look, there was one thing we mentioned at the top. What was the best moment of the finals? We've got three contenders. And this is what, you know, what will you remember the 2018 NBA Finals for? And come on, man, there's only one answer, isn't it? It's JR in game one, right? Blowing LeBron's 51-point game. It's either that or Steph going flame on and turning into Johnny Storm, smashing an NBA Finals record 9 threes in game two. Or maybe KD's dagger three in game three that was better than his game three dagger, last year on his way to basically winning the game three all by himself while the rest of the Warriors sputtered up the joint. So, I don't know, out of those three, though, it's got to still be JR, doesn't it? The fact that LeBron had 51, that it was JR out there in overtime, that it was just actually specifically JR, and there's no chance in hell they win that game in OT, just perfectly sums up this Cavs season, right? Like, I think beyond they swept the Cavs for their second straight, we'll definitely remember JR fucking up in the most monumental way possible. And, I mean, I don't know about how you feel about it, but a lot of this goes a lot deeper, and we saw it in the uncut footage where LeBron just gave up on his team, his coaches, everybody right there. He knew that that wouldn't have happened with, you know, on Miami. Like, they would have kept track of the timeouts. They would have had a smarter player out there on the floor that would have realized that it was tied and they needed to score. So now it's pretty clearly that he's, like, out on Ty Lue. He's out on his teammates. He's just sitting there just going, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, come on, mate, nut up. Go out there and go, hey, man, like LeBron versus Jordan, it's a dumb argument all the time, but Jordan would have just gone, hey, motherfucker, we're still going to win this goddamn fucking, like, we're going overtime. We've got 5 more minutes. We're just going to win now. Whereas LeBron's like, oh, he didn't know the score. Why don't you call a timeout? Fuck that. But anyway, that's why we're going to remember this entire series for. It's going to be JR. And look, LeBron's stoic. I'm here doing best for my team bullshit. We saw him score 51. That was best for his team, right? So why didn't he go out and score 51, you know, three more times? Obviously, his hand's buggered up and 51 is a lot. As your team's getting swept, though, he put up 33, 29, and 23, almost average a triple-double. It was pretty clearly never enough, though, and he knew it after game one. So JR's blunder, that was the best, most memorable part of the season, of the series, rather. Well, probably the season two. We'll remember that forever and ever and ever. And so we'll wrap up this segment with the Warriors are your NBA champs. How do you feel about it? I'm kind of like resigned to it. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Still feels like cheating when they've got KD, don't it? Like, to win game three for them and all that sort of stuff. But still, there you go. The Warriors, they've got it. All right, we'll be back in a second with some yeah nahs and a bunch of other fun dumb stuff.
G'day, this is Thon McCurr, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's time for Yeah Nah, where we take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, did the coward Kevin Durant deserve to win NBA Finals MVP over Steph Curry? Yeah nah, nah, get the fuck out of here. No fucking chance. Steph won the Warriors two games basically by himself, right? KD was great in one game. He was shit in one. Steph had three very, very, very good games. Two great ones and one bad one that probably cost him the MVP. Get the fuck out of here, man. Like, I don't know. I want to actually go back and look at all the voting, but I'm just going to have this fucking be in my bonnet for a long ass time. Steph should have won that. KD can go get fucked. Come on. You're joking if you're looking at it any other way. Number two, should LeBron go to the Celtics now? Yeah, nah. Look, we're going to cover that all the way through to the start of free agency every day now. Well, not every day, but every episode in the lead up to free agency with our Yo, Where LeBron Gonna Go At preview. So that means we're going to talk about every single team, all 30 of them until July 1. So stick with it and we'll actually give you the old yeah, nah, yeah as to where we think LeBron ends up at. Hey, speaking of Laurent, LeBron did hitting the whiteboard and fucking up his hand really impact him this series? Yeah, nah. Yes, of course it did. He only attempted 11 threes over the last three games of this series and only hit three of them. He went 1 of 6 in Game 3, 0 of 1 in a closeout finals game from 3. For fuck's sake, man. He took 44 threes in the series against Boston. And if you want to say, oh, but that was only 7 games, bro. Well, that was 7 games. Yeah, he shot 24 threes in the first 4 games of that. Or 25 in the last 4. It doesn't matter which way you cut it. He just wasn't shooting against Golden State at all. That's unbelievable. So, yes, it affected him. But really, it's his own dickheaded fault for punching a whiteboard and hurting his hand in the face first place. Should he have actually waited a couple of days to announce that, yeah, he busted up his hand? Yeah, nah, yes, because you look like a fucker, bitch ass, doing it the way he did it. Next one, would the Celtics have gotten a game off the Warriors? This is one that my buddy asked the other day when we were watching game 4. Yeah, nah, yeah, I kind of feel like they would have. I feel like the better coaching, the better defense, and better awareness probably would have gotten them at least one game over the hump, right? Like, imagine if Gordo and Kyrie were healthy as well. Oh, Jesus. But yeah, I feel like the Celtics would have gotten one. Next one, the Detroit Pistons have signed Dwayne Casey as their head coach, giving him a 5-year deal. Is this a good move for the Pistons? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, it's a great move for Dwayne Casey as well. 5 years, dude. That is a bit of job security. Holy crap. Anyway, he's a defense-first coach. We know that. He knows that he can develop young guys. They've done that in Toronto just nonstop. Seems ideal for the floating shit show that the Pistons have become, right? Like, hardcore. And I don't know, though. Like, all you're hoping that this gives is that this gives the Pistons a little bit of direction. Like, hopefully this hand on the tiller sort of points him in the right way. Even though it sort of seems a little bit weird because he never seemed like quite the guy in Toronto a lot of the time. Even with this year, when he's going to win Coach of the Year, he's still got shit canned. So you got to wonder a little bit. It's a bit strange. All right, and final, yeah, nah, and also bonus dickhead of the weekend. What do you think? Dickhead of the weekend? It's got to be it. Kevin Durant turning around saying, oh, it's harder to be a great player and play with other great players than to be a great player by yourself. Fuck! fuck you, Kevin Durant. That is some bullshit. That is why you're the coward. Look, I get both sides of this. Yes, it's hard. It's probably harder to stand out when you got really good dudes, but it's not fucking harder to be a great player and play with other great players. Get the fuck out of here. That is some yeah, you're a dickhead. That is some bullshit. So move on to the unpopular opinion of the day. What do you reckon?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I don't know if this is that, like, unpopular, but Steph was robbed, right? Like, he's a giant dork with a shit beard. I get it. But he should have still been finals MVP. Like, I've spent most of this year calling him a giant fucking dweeb and the dork and the nerd, whatever. But I'm all here for justice. And he should have won MVP. It's ridiculous that he didn't. And everybody who, like, didn't vote for him should be like, dude, what are you doing? Everybody's going to get called out for that because that is some bullshit. You could also, yeah, look, you could say that they wouldn't have won the series without Kevin Durant. At the same time, there's no fucking chance in hell they would have won the series without Steph Curry. He literally won them two games of his own back. Fuck you. Anyway, speaking of which, let's move into Outback Takehouse. It's Monday at Outback. That means triple Alice Springs chicken. That means we've hit three emus in the ute and they're on the menu. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take at Outback Takehouse is the coward Kevin Durant will never be considered better than LeBron James because even with two finals MVPs, he's not even the most popular player on his own team. And because he's a coward who jumped to a 73-win team to chase rings. Only at Outback. There you go. I like it. All right, man. We'll be back in a second with Where's LeBron End Up A and the Australian Player Watch and a couple of other fun things. Trust me, it's going to be pretty bloody good, I reckon.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia. Right, we are back and it is time for Yo, Where's LeBron End Up, eh? Where we rank all 30 NBA teams in order of where we think LeBron may end up once he inevitably opts out of his contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We are ranking them basically going, all right, so how would it work fit-wise? Could they get him here? Would he want to go there? And I think we're going to do four at a time. So today it is 30 through 27. Ranking the teams of like, hey man, do you reckon LeBron could go there? So let's start at the very bottom, like where Drake, number 30, the Sacramento Kings. That's right, the Kings. De'Aaron Fox, Bogdan Bogdanovich, Luka Doncic, Vlade, Vivek, Sleep Train Arena, California's capital, the legacy of C-Web and pay you a white chocolate. Yeah, nah, come on. This is easily the least likely team at this point, right? They've somehow been shit for an entire decade, despite being in the lottery every single year since 2007. That's a remarkable run of ineptitude. They're like the St. Kilda Saints at this point. But even St. Kilda nearly won an AFL premiership in the last 10 years. So it's not even that bad. Holy crap. I mean, even Carlton have made it to the finals. Jesus Christ, Sacramento. Yeah, so that is the least likely place for LeBron to end up, right? Number 29, Memphis, the Grizzlies. Yeah, look, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, you get to be on like Chandler Parsons' Instagram all the time, I guess. You could hang out with your new coach, JB Bickerstaff. I mean, they do have Beale Street and barbecue, but Tiny Market, Justin Timberlake maybe, but still gross. This is only 29 as opposed to Sacramento because Conley and Gasol are actual NBA players that LeBron could actually feasibly like fit next to, whereas Sacramento is just a legit shit show at this point, isn't it? Oh, Jesus. There you go. Memphis at 29. I've been there. It's amazing. The arena is awesome. FedEx Arena. Beale Street is wicked. Hell of a fun town, but at the same time, don't feel like LeBron's going there. Number 28. Detroit basketball. That's right. The Detroit Pistons at 28. They've got a new coach, Dwayne Casey. I mean, he knows LeBron well enough from getting his ass handed to him over and over and over in the playoffs, I guess. But still, Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, Luke, one pick ahead of Donovan fucking Mitchell Kennard, Henry fucking Ellenson, son. No, look, even LeBron and Blake side by side wouldn't really work, but I don't even know if there's any worse, more soul-crushing team at the moment than Detroit. And even LeBron going there, you'd be kind of like, is this a playoff team? Holy shit. I don't know, man. It's a tough one. Could you just imagine LeBron going, all right, man, so I'm going to leave Cleveland. Where I'm going to go is Detroit. I mean, at least they got that new little, what is it, Little Caesars Arena there in Detroit, downtown. Nice one. Charlotte is 27th. And this is Kemba, Dwight Howard, Frenchie, Nick Batum, Mo Williams, Malik Monk. They got a new coach as well, skinny James Borrego. He looks like a guy who gets fired from a Trip Administration for like leaking Russia tie stuff, I reckon. But they're at 27 because like there's only a slight chance because LeBron could be like, fuck it, man, playing for Jordan would be sweet. I mean, but Kemba's also good. I mean, sure, but at the same time, you just feel like the Cavs could trade the number 8 pick for Kemba on draft night or something like that and blow it all up rather than LeBron going to Charlotte. So that's why they end up at 27 below some other, you know, notable shit show kind of things like Atlanta, Brooklyn, whatever. But Charlotte, you just don't feel like it could ever happen, right? So there you go. That is 30 through 27. The first four of Yo, Where LeBron End Up teams, the Kings, the Grizzlies, the Pistons, and the Hornets. And we'll have four more each show that we do on the in the lead up to free agency. So should be pretty bloody good. What do you reckon there? What do you reckon there, Stephen A. Smith?
This is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
I mean, that is the best way to describe the Kings, the Grizz, the Pistons, and the Hornets. All right, you ready for a quick Australian player watch? Because we've got a quick update on Dele. He's back in Melbourne for the Pies D's Queen's birthday game. There with the fam on your deli. Paddy out there still on the beach still. Great photos on his Insta from Hawaii. Jingles is out there on Twitter. Basically, his job now at the moment seems to be trolling Andrew Bogut with coffee emojis, which is hilarious. But what we do have for the Australian Player Watch is a bunch of Aussies, Kiwis, and NBL dudes going and being a part of the Mavs mini camp at the moment. That means we've got Mitch Creek, Kyle Adnam, Majok Deng, Shea Lee, and Isaac Humphries from the Kings. They all might see a bit of playing time in the Summer League if they make through Mavs minicamp, which is pretty awesome. So there you bloody go. That is very, very nice. That's a bit of the Australian Player Watch. You know, Mitch Creek. Get him, Creek. Hey, Kyle Adnam. Majok Deng. Shea Lee, even though he's, you know, a Kiwi. Isaac Humphries as well. That's awesome still. Aussie! How about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board? Joe Ingles. It's the Joe Ingles Inspiration Board at the moment because Donovan Mitchell tweeted out the other day, grass cut so low you can catch him being snake because everybody real too you catch him being fake. Donovan Mitchell out there tweeting that out and Joe Ingles replying, I tell you every day I don't like you. Ah, Joe trolling. And the previous tweets before that are literally just coffee emojis and then tagging at Andrew Bogut. Coffee emoji at Andrew Bogut. It's amazing. Joe Ingles, an inspiration for the children. All right, what about the Andrew Gaze Fundamentally Sound Grey Mamba Award? And like, this will be the final time we probably give this away until we start next season. We actually have games to cover again. So let's get to it, shall we? The Andrew Gaze Fundamentally Sound Grey Mamba Award. It's got to be Steph Curry's three finals games, which I mentioned arguing for his MVP case. In game one, he goes 5 of 11 from 3, 11 of 23 all up. 9 of 17 from 3, obviously in game two. Wins them the game. Unbelievable. And then in game four, 7 of 15 from 3, 12 of 27. There was one of 10 in the middle, we know that. But even the Grey Mamba had off days. So, Steph Curry, 29 points in game one, 33 points in game two, 37 points in game four, and 11 in between that. How you don't win MVP is just beyond me. And look, Andrew Gaze, seven-time NBL MVP, two-time NBL champion, is out there smiling benevolently down on Steph Curry going, hey, you're almost as good as me there, Steph. You're almost as good as me. So there you go. The final Grey Mamba, Andrew Gaze Fundamentally Sound Award of the season goes to Steph Curry. What an amazing run it was. Legitimately awesome and very, very Grey Mamba-esque. And you know what? That is it for today. That's NBA Australia for today. We are back on Wednesday with more Ridiculous. We'll have another guest this week as well. We'll continue having guests swing by for all this fun stuff that you used to all the way through the off-season. But the next 2 weeks, we're going to be all over the NBA draft, which we will be at. That's right, NBA Australia going to be at the draft and free agency. So keep your ears peeled. This week, we're just going to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday because there's not a giant amount to cover, but we'll be talking draft and free agency all the time. And then next week, we'll be at the draft. There's going to be heaps of stuff. So keep an eye on Twitter, Facebook, NBAAustralia.com, Instagram. There's always stuff going up. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, however you get your podcast. Check us a nice 5-star rating and review while you're at it, would you? Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats. They're the best band in Australia. You heard their new song, I've Been Broken, just before. And you can go request that on Triple J right now or wherever you listen to radio. Go ask. House Hats, I've Been Broken. Absolute pillar of a tune. Special thanks to Green Green Green, Iowa Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. They're unreal. So there you go. Stick around for a brand new Deli review where he talks about the NBA Finals and Westworld. And we will catch you on Wednesday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Jose. Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's old mate Deli over here, just swinging by the NBA Australia office with my latest Deli review. And what? I'm back in Australia, eh? Which is like fucking great, mate, because I got to go see the Pies and the D's, Queen's birthday game at the G, which is fucking special as, mate. Special considering my Pies fucking flogged those D's pricks, eh? On you, Jordan Degoey! And what a name that guy's got, Jordan Degoey. My best mate Plugger loves a bit of the Goey. It's how that time he got into a punch-on with the bouncers at the Park Hotel in Maribor, he was able to like fight off like all three of them at once, eh? Even though one of them smashed one of those glass ashes over his noggin. On you, Plugger! Anyway, so today I'm just gonna like review the finals for you, eh? And how my mate LeBron and my old best mate JR went. But also do a bit of a thing about Westworld. So look, let's just get stuck in. So, what did you reckon about the finals, eh? I reckon, dead set, it was a bit of fucking bullshit. Like, I reckon the Cavs were pretty close, but with JR, he's like out there fucking up game one, even when LeBron had 51. That was more brutal than a wristy behind the Maribara bike sheds from Gorilla Grip Genevieve there back in year 10. Unbelievable. Then it just went off the fucking rails after that in game one. They should have won going through, but they didn't because they didn't have Deli to throw on KD to shut him down the stretch. And that was that. I mean, shit, even in game four, I would have been out there fucking diving for loose balls, smashing cunts like I'm smashing Corona tinnies. It was fucking piss week, mate. Show a little bit of heart. So, look, I spent a bunch of the finals, like, messaging Brom, like, oh, you fully need me, eh? And, like, man, JR's a flog, eh? And, oh, I fully reckon Kevin loves a spud. And he's replying, like, fuck, I shouldn't have ever let you walk, eh? It's fully brutal. If Bron had old mate Deli over here next to him, I would have at least gone, like, it would have at least gone six like it did in 2015, eh? No fucking problems. Anyway, so there you go. So now my recruitment of LeBron to Milwaukee begins. Like, move here, LeBron. It's fucking cold as in winter, but he's used to that in Cleveland anyway. Plus, we've got Greek Giannis over here, and those two together, plus Deli. That's fucking unstoppable, mate. Title, here we go, Deli. So, yeah, there you go. Pretty good. So, anyway, that's enough on the finals and shit like that. So, what do you reckon about Westworld? I don't know about you, but I'm loving it. That episode with the Indian felt sorry, Native American bloke. He just like wandering around and shit. That was epic, eh? Like, I fucking barely knew what was going on, but I really liked him figuring out what was happening and running into that old Hannibal Lecter bloke and like the other chick like talking through like the kid and him and shit. Oh, it was sick as. Like, I love Westworld with all the rooting and the shooting and like, even if I've got no fucking clue as to what's going on, I'm fully stoked with this season, mate. Like, it's awesome as. Like, I can't wait for the finale and shit to see what happens. Like, get him today, start fucking shooting him up and Dolores and shit. It's gonna be sick. So, I can't wait for that. Alright, so that's it for this week. I'll talk to you next week when I've hopefully convinced LeBron to join us in Milwaukee, eh? Until then, later cunts, Deli out.